One of our neighbors, Mr. Miller, once explained to me that trailer parks like ours had originally consisted of a few dozen mobile homes arranged in neat rows on the ground. But after the oil crash and the onset of the energy crisis, large cities had been flooded with refugees from surrounding suburban and rural areas, resulting in a massive urban housing shortage. Real estate within walking distance of a city became far too valuable to waste on a flat plain of mobile homes, so someone had cooked up the brilliant idea of, as Mr. Miller put it, stacking the some bitches to maximize the use of ground space. The idea caught on in a big way, and trailer parks across the country had quickly evolved into stacks like this one. Strange hybrids of shanty towns, squatter settlements, and refugee camps. They were now scattered around the outskirts of most major cities, each one overflowing with uprooted rednecks like my parents, who, desperate for work, food, electricity, and reliable oasis access, had fled their dying small towns and had used the last of their gasoline, or their beasts of burden, to haul their families, RVs, and trailer homes to the nearest metropolis. Every stack in our park stood at least 15 mobile homes high, with the occasional RV, shipping container, Airstream trailer, or VW microbus mixed in for variety. In recent years, many of the stacks had grown to a height of 20 units or more. This made a lot of people nervous. Stack collapses weren't that uncommon, and if the scaffold supports buckled at the wrong angle, the domino effect could bring down 4 or 5 of the neighboring stacks, too. Our trailer was near the northern edge of the stacks, which ran up to a crumbling highway overpass. From my vantage point in the laundry room window, I could see a thin stream of electric vehicles crawling along the cracked asphalt, carrying goods and workers into the city. As I stared out at the grim skyline, a bright sliver of the sun peeked over the horizon. Watching it rise, I performed a mental ritual. Whenever I saw the sun, I reminded myself that I was looking at a star, one of over 100 billion stars in our galaxy, a galaxy that was just one of billions of other galaxies in the observable universe. This helped me keep things in perspective. I'd started doing it after watching a science program from the early 80s called Cosmos. I slipped out the window as quietly as possible, and clutching the bottom of the window frame, slid down the cold surface of the trailer's metal siding. The steel platform on which the trailer rested was only slightly wider and longer than the trailer itself, leaving a ledge about 1.5 feet wide all the way around. I carefully lowered myself until my feet rested on this ledge, then reached up to close the window behind me. I grabbed hold of a rope I'd strung there at waist level to serve as a handhold and began to sidestep along the ledge to the corner of the platform. From there, I was able to descend the ladder-like frame of the scaffolding. I almost always took this route when leaving or returning to my aunt's trailer. A rickety metal staircase was bolted to the side of the stack, but it shook and knocked against the scaffolding, so I couldn't use it without announcing my presence. Bad news. In the stacks, it was best to avoid being heard or seen whenever possible. There were often dangerous and desperate people about, the sort who would rob you, rape you, and then sell your organs on the black market. Descending the network of metal girders had always reminded me of old platform video games like Donkey Kong or Burger Time. I'd seized upon this idea a few years earlier when I coded my first Atari 2600 game, a Gunter rite of passage, like a Jedi building his first lightsaber. It was a Pitfall ripoff called The Stacks, where you had to navigate through a vertical maze of trailers, collecting junk computers, snagging food voucher power-ups, and avoiding meth addicts and pedophiles on your way to school. My game was a lot more fun than the real thing.